Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it is now or never, and I did not get a chance to finish my diatribe, my rant regarding what's going on in Oklahoma and this horrendous article written by supposedly an academic claiming to write an academic article when it had nothing. It was basically a sycophant article for unconstitutional government and tyranny and actually waging political warfare against the parties of the Constitution. We've got to be clear, folks. It is the states that created this union in creating that Constitution. It is the states to choose. It is the states to decide. But those things that they delegated, that they surrendered in this Constitution, they too must be held liable for, or I should say, liable. They should be held accountable to those things that they had to surrender. And many times the states have been bypassing some things in the Constitution. It is time for us to just get our heads on right regarding the Constitution. So let me quickly go through the obligatories so I can wrap it up in this first segment, because the only thing I have left to do is to point out and to go through the points once again regarding our perverted Constitution in accordance with the revisionists of history. Okay? So, thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. We need to get the words of this show, we need to get this content into the hands of everybody, because people need to start understanding the Constitution. It's a crime to not understand it in the precise context as the framers defined it. Anyway, let's move forward, shall we? Anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence of how we got to where we are as a nation regarding the Constitution and the academic evidence-based solutions of what it takes to restore this nation and put it right back onto the tracks and within the frameworks of the Constitution as designed by the divine hand of providence. And so we will get into the Oklahoma message, but again, I got these, and I'll try to be quick with these. I want to give every sponsorship its due justice. And I can't say enough about understanding the Constitution. You hear me deriding the importance that people are marginalizing understanding the Constitution, that when you have meetings, you need to add a 5-minute to 10-minute little portion of your meeting time to help people understand constitutional context, understand what a republican form of government is, understand these types of things. And there's no better source to probably do that right now than working with constitutioneducation.us. If you need something, contact Keith. He'll probably be happy to work something up for you. I mean, I'd love to do it myself, but I seem to be busy and I'm not getting that level of support that I'd like to get out of the people that I pay nothing for. So I get what I pay for, and you're able to get what you pay for, right? I mean, that's how it works. We get what we pay for. Anyway, constitutioneducation.us. Let me move on. If you're looking to preserve the things that your hard-earned money had gone out and purchased, because I don't know a person that actually works hard for a living and actually throws caution to the wind and mistreats these products, these commodities, these items that they... I mean, I don't know very many people that are wasteful that will actually take something that they've worked hard for, buy it, and then actually not take care of it. You know, maybe a child, maybe an immature person, but you learn your lesson. Hey, if I spend $1,000 on something, I want to make that thing last if I can. This is why I recommend that you go to Stan Kluwitz's webpage, radiodustcovers.com. Go look at how he creates these waterproof, the material is waterproof. The seams may not be and so forth, but they will protect your gear from accidental spills of water for the most part. And the way these things are designed to protect your gear. Now, he can't give you 100% guarantee that your gear won't be damaged in a fire or a flood or something like that. I mean, that's ludicrous. But he can protect them from everyday, you know, mishaps or everyday environment. You got dogs, you got, you know, dust, what have you. Go check out Stan Kluwitz's radio dust covers. He does all sorts of covers. He even does protective covers for your ammo reloading gear. I forget what it's called, but basically your reloading equipment to reload your shotguns, your shells, and so forth. Anywho, let me move into these points that I didn't get a chance to go through. In today's perverted constitution, states are not fully sovereign. I'm just basically telling you that's how perverted we've gotten, that states are no longer sovereign, that they are subjugated to the federal government, which is unconstitutional. It is not based upon our U.S. Constitution for these states. States cannot secede, based on this principle, states cannot secede from the Union, when actually the fact is they can. They are parties, and in fundamental contract law, when a compact is being violated, when the state is being abused and the entities or those involved in the compact are violating it, any state can choose to secede from the Union. The problem and the danger of a state seceding from the Union is very clear, that they can no longer, once you're out of the marriage, once you're out of this union, you can no longer affect what's going on. This is why we don't want to see states secede. We want to see states actually exercise their sovereignty in getting the government back into the framework of the Constitution and forcing public servants to comply to their constitutional legal oath. If they don't, and they don't support the Constitution, we get rid of them by using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, period. That the states, in this perverted constitutional, you know, delusion that the states have the constitutional power to directly deal with other states, other sovereign nations, like Indian nations, like the federal government even had the power to create Indian nations. They didn't. They didn't have the power to create. There's nowhere in the Constitution they can recognize sovereign states. And this is why I read that amendment that Thomas Jefferson tried to apply, because he thought that that would be maybe a better way to go. But it didn't happen. And I think it didn't happen because of the divine hand of providence. I think the divine hand of providence knew that this Constitution and this land would become the promised land for the entire world if the entire world, the people of the entire world, not the governments. Again, the governments have been out against liberty. They want to control their own people, and they wanted to destroy America. But we are the beacon of liberty for the people of the world. And if the people of the world want to become a part of this union, there is a process to do that, and it's right there in Article 4. And they can become a equal-footed member of this union, provided that they actually go through the full process of becoming a state, speaking English, taking on our legal system of common law, and taking on our monetary system, and so forth and so on. There are hard requirements that a state must actually, like Hong Kong or Taiwan or Crimea or Ukraine, all of these states must actually go through and start abiding by our laws and everything else before they actually become, they'll just be a territory. And they will be a citizen that will be inhabitants, but they will never be citizens. They won't be able to vote. They won't be able to have representation. The only way they transition into being a citizen is for that state to be enacted and enabled as a state in the union. In other words, once that state finalizes its transition, then the people of that state will then be carte blanche brought into citizenship. Now, there's some problems with that, but bottom line, every single person will then have to go through, because they'll be naturalized in the process of actually having to take the oath of a citizen, in understanding that they have to put aside any allegiance to and so forth and so on. So anyway, let's keep going. So, in other words, within this constitutional republic, foreign nations cannot deal directly with any state, nor can foreign nations buy and or control any type of land resource that is within the jurisdiction of the United States. Technically, when the state is to receive its Enabling Act, the boundary of that state borders are defined and define its sovereignty of its land, which means there can't be any general government control of anything for forests, for people. They can't do it because that's not enumerated within the Constitution. There has to be a lot of amendments made for them to be able to do the things that they are inflicting upon these states such as Oklahoma. The general government has no power to admit a foreign state not as a party to the Constitution, as a state within this union. In other words, we're going to let you be, you know, in the United States, but you're not a party to the Constitution. You don't have to ratify it, but you can start becoming. Basically, they're just saying we're allowing foreign states to become hostile entities within us. Are you kidding me? Where is that in the Constitution? Folks, we are being deceived, and we're actually witnessing how this deception is going to be destroying us. Because people, oh, well, shoot, you know, they've allowed this happen. We've got one more little point to bring up when we come back in the next segment. But we will wrap this up, and I apologize for this taking so long. I guess it is my nature to trip into these rat holes and then have to crawl out of them. Anyway, we're moving forward. We'll be right back after these two promos, after this break. Thank you so much, folks. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so we clearly see within this article that the Supreme Court is directing states. They're violating their constitutional oath, and their job is the Supreme Court in telling states that they have to deal with foreign states. And in addition, they're recognizing that these are foreign states when foreign states cannot exist within a sovereign state. You cannot have a sovereign within a sovereign that allows it to actually be antithetical and actually antiproductive, hostile, and literally allowing an enemy within. I mean, this just defies all logic. The Supreme Court has been doing the bidding, and it is doing the bidding in undermining our constitutional republic. It has turned its back on the Constitution. We have all the evidence necessary to actually prove all of this. And I say that because if you start looking at these cases with Bob Schultz and his We the People Foundation, how they have absolutely turned their backs on our right of petition, this is why the only force that we have right now with the right of petition is the law of the land itself. And how we use them is to hold our public servants accountable at the local level. And when we start getting rid of every politician that refuses to live up to their oath of office by demanding that they fully, without question, fully support and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic within their own government and party, then bottom line, we got to vote them out. We got to put people in there that understand it is the Constitution that is our public servant's number one constituent. They must protect it, not their party, not their ideology. We've gotten into this problem because people have brought their ideological paradigms into their political positions when they are legally obligated to only support the Constitution. Now, my final point is this. There can only be one sovereign over a given specific matter. The federal government and Congress, only Congress, has the authority to declare war. And the general government has other very enumerated powers. But that is it. They are strictly limited to those powers delegated. And in this case, because these things, such as creating foreign nations and states within states and all of this other mess, because these things are not delegated, then it is time for Oklahoma to take a stand, assert its constitutional sovereignty, and the only way to do this is to actually start initiating what is necessary to create republic review. They need to create a review committee within their constitution or within their state legislature, like what we did with Wyoming in that bill. What they need to do is to actually, and I can't say this enough, they must actually act as a majority of the union. In other words, they can't act as a sole party. We have to act as a unified party in the union to reaffirm state sovereignty. And the day they do that is the day you will hear the earth shift again back onto its proper poles, that the world will now be spinning with a nation grounded on individual liberty and individual sovereignty, that the states will hold this subjugate, this federal government, accountable for everything it does, period. Now, moving on, as the hands of the clock keep on ticking, let's just go back to these points that we need to get into. And these are, again, this is what I just dub it quickly, the Bill of Rights of 2022. A Republican form of government is the next thing that we have to actually get into and delineate. So we provide a little bit of an understanding of what a Republican form of government is, so that anybody that doesn't understand what a Republican form of government is, we kind of put it right here. So first off, a Republican form of government, to anybody, thinks that it is a representative government. No, it is a representation of the sovereigns, not just a representative government. So in other words, most people think it's just a representative of the people. No, in America, a Republican form of government or our representation is granted to those sovereigns, not simply the people. The people clearly are the sovereigns over their local government and over those who represent them. But we also have this other body of legislature, or this other body with the capability of creating law, called the Senate. and it does not represent the people. It's important to understand that they are there to represent the sub-element of government within the republic. At the national level, that would be the states. The sub-element of government at the state level would be the counties. This is why the Senate in the states have actually turned their backs on a Republican form of government and no longer recognizes county governments as sovereign governments. They have tried to centralize and they have tried to move us towards something that is not this Republican form of government. In other words, they don't recognize that we create a sovereign government at the county level. This is why I basically say we need to get to a point now, folks, where we actually create constitutions for our counties, that the county, each county seat must have a constitution where we, the people, delegate the very specific powers to them, and then we can then have the counties go back and write a constitution for the state once again and reassert their authority over the Senate and reassert their authority over the Constitution. Every state that became a state after the Constitution was ratified had counties basically create, they sent delegates to create the new Constitution for that state. They sent delegates from the counties. In other words, they represented the good people that were being governed within that county, and they worked as delegates. And when it came down to ratifying and accepting the Constitution, it first went out, you know, in the body of the delegates. As each county voted, each county got one vote. And when it came down to accepting the Constitution, they may have used a popular vote, but that would have been incorrect. Popular vote is done and used in a democracy. What should have happened was they should have actually sent the Constitution out to the people of the state to ratify by each county accepting. And so they should have had an Article 7 process of ratification of that Constitution, ensuring that the majority of the counties were on board. It is repugnant to think, it is repugnant to even imagine that a popular vote, mob rule, would ever be acceptable in this Republican form of government. So we've kind of laid out what that Republican representation means, but that is not the end all for a Republican form of government. A Republican form of government is based upon the law and the law that the people have established and or the sovereignty that the people have surrendered to this seat of government they've created. In other words, these enumerated powers, because our constitutions in America should be, there's nowhere that says you can't grant general powers, but a fool, only a fool grants general powers. Only a fool will sign a general power of attorney unless you absolutely, without question, fully trust the individual you are basically surrendering your life to. And I have seen many and many times where people have been granted and received general powers and a general power of attorney that they have defied the trust of that individual. And sometimes it's had to go to court where the court actually has stepped in and said, yep, you defied the trust of that individual. And we therefore must remove this power from you. You cannot do, because you're supposed to be acting in behalf and for the benefit of that person. And when you prove that you're not, it actually can be revoked. But folks, we don't want to have to deal with that type of thing. The reality is we want to enumerate the powers that we delegate to the county and the powers, and we need to delegate most all of our powers, powers of health care, powers of anything like that has to be done at the county level. That at the state level, we keep it limited and defined to supporting the counties and the people of the counties. I just can't understand, and I can't fathom how we actually have these, you know, these states where population centers like Illinois, you know, like Indiana, where these population centers, Michigan with Detroit, that these population centers are literally destroying these states by using popular vote and democracy. and the fact that the Supreme Court violated the Constitution with Reynolds v. Sims in the 60s, along with a few other rules that they followed up on, or rulings, I should say, that they followed up with, the fact that we're in this mess, it's a testament, folks. It is a testament that proves that our Supreme Court and our government is actually doing everything they can to destroy our constitutional republic. And they're working with foreign states and coordinating with foreigners to come here, undermine in all different ways, from the invasion as well as through debt, and all different ways they are working to undermine your liberties, to subjugate you to this global governance. And that is, it just points to all of the conspiracy theories that actually stem from the Bible. Because the Bible actually talks about, you know, this big facade, this big final hoorah of, you know, everybody actually bowing to the Antichrist and accepting this global acceptance of this ungodly thing called globalism. Anyway, at least under Satan's rule. Anywho, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so just to be clear, if you'd never understood why we had bicameral legislative bodies created at the state level, because that was designed to address the needs of the county, that the Senate was there to ensure that the county's sovereignty was being protected, that the state would not be able to assume powers not delegated. The problem is that the state constitutions granted general powers, and people went down this thought of, you know, after the first few counties, they started moving further and further away from these constitutional principles to where they abandoned these principles altogether. So we have the ability as the people within this Republican form of government to reel our local governments back in. The good thing is we don't have to worry about reeling the federal government in constitutionally. The Constitution is well-defined enough. Our problem at the state level and the county level is the fact that we have not delineated and delegated well in protecting our liberties and protecting our, you know, powers, rights, and those things we want to reserve to us. You know, when you start giving general powers out to any form of government, they are going to abuse that. The other thing about Republican form of government, again, is it is based on the rule of law, how you actually delegate those powers, and these are the things that they can do. Everything else is left to the people, however the people want to govern. As a matter of fact, if a county wants to govern themselves by, you know, a theocracy, they can actually create that, because within the Establishment Clause of the Bill of Rights, it is not applied to the people. I am never going to support the idea of theocracy within this republic, but it should never be at the state level, because you should never be able to subjugate a body of people. And even today, because of the interminglings of faith, it is just repugnant to be able to think we would create a theocracy, or try to think we're smarter than the divine hand of providence in trying to blend some mutual theocracy. That in itself is biblical. That is where that's the devil's playground, where he starts playing and getting everybody to compromise into what he believes, you know, how we can come up and formulate a theocracy. It's never, the day we subjugate to a theocracy is the day Christ takes the helm of this world and leads this world both politically, spiritually, and in all facets, period. That's it. Until that day, we should try to avoid those types of decisions. But we should never avoid working and actually creating alliances with religions for compassionate services. They're the best at doing it. Why wouldn't we want to use religion in our society to help with compassionate services and keep it from the hands of government? It has been proven that America is far more giving and far more compassionate when it allows these religions, when it allows this relationship to thrive. The fact is that we've become far less compassionate and far less giving, and we're only giving to those things that like the federal government. Sure, they give to other nations. They give to other nations money for abortions and things that these maniacal evil things that they want to do. Folks, our government is actually making a bad name for ourselves, and they've been doing it for a very long time. It's time, folks. It's now or never, right? Right? So, again, this is why we have enumerated constitutions restricting the powers of any general government, whether that general government is your county government, whether that general government is your state government, or whether that general government is the federal government. It does not matter. But we have a distributive, I want to make this clear, our republican form of government is a distributive form of government, placing the powers outward, closest to the people, so that the people have the power to affect and be affected by themselves personally without inflicting harm upon the entire nation. This is so beautiful because it allows petri dishes to, you know, fail. It allows small governments to actually, okay, well, that didn't work. Well, let's try something different. We've got all of the evidence. Every time government tries to assume more things than it should be doing, it only proves that they're going to actually destroy or be a part of. It's like, you know, centralized and managed healthcare by government. We already knew by the Massachusetts model, trying to apply that at a federal level was going to be just horrendous. It was going to be a huge mistake. So why is it that we can't learn from these lessons? Why? Oh, that's because the details and the evidence, the empirical data, is perverted and twisted so that people look at the information based on how they want to portray it. And then once they got our buy-in, then it's too late to go back. And this is why the other hideous thing about government is that whenever they institute a new law or they take on a new power, there is never a way to unplug that without having to go through a constitutional amendment again in repealing. And that becomes brutal. Maybe it would be best when we look at actually, you know, investing power into a government, that we actually have a clause in there that this power is only effective for 10 years. That after 10 years, everything will be dismantled and returned back to the states or respectively how it was handled before. This allows us the ability to say, you know what, we can make this permanent. We have to re-ratify that amendment or grant them another 10 years. Folks, never go carte blanche in with any government. Politicians change, people change, things change. And next thing you know, you could be actually looking at a very evil master that all of a sudden is tyrannical and ruling you with the rule of thumb. And do you know what the rule of thumb is? In the southern states, I believe it was in the Carolinas, where they actually have the rule of thumb as the law of the land. And the rule of thumb was that a man could take, or a person could take, whoever they own as their property, whether that be their wife, slave, or what have you, and they can take them down to the Capitol, to the steps of the Capitol, and beat that person with a stick that is equal to the diameter of their thumb. So I want you to look at your thumb real quick and go, wow, you know, that's a pretty thick stick. And if that's a hickory stick, that's a hard stick, thick stick. There's no way you'll break that. You could actually kill a person with the rule of thumb. But it was legal back in those days. And we can't allow government to subject us to their rule of thumb. They will kill us. Their sticks are worse than hickory. So anyway, now that we've kind of covered this Republican form of government or the paradigm of Republicanism, let's get into something that is very specific and very, very important. We need to get into the Electoral College. And so I'm looking over my shoulder. I got 3 minutes in this segment, and I got another segment behind this. And so what we want to do is we want to actually get into the Electoral College and what the Constitution actually says. Because in a Republican form of government, we also have representation in the choosing of our president. I want to be clear here. There is a very specific paradigm that we are not to elect our president. If it was to go to the election, the 12th Amendment would then say, if by, you know, two or three rounds of votes by the Electoral College, that, you know, they can't choose with a majority a president and vice president, then the election would go towards the popular vote. But the 12th Amendment doesn't say that. The 12th Amendment makes sure and makes clear that we maintain a Republican form of government, not a Democratic form of government. So what does that mean? What's that mean, GR? What that means is we're to have representatives to choose for us who the president is to be. And the choice, the other choice of representation, is the choice that we have made already. This is why the 12th Amendment points to the House of Representatives, the representatives of the people, to choose the president. But oh, it's not by, you know, every representative one vote. It is by delegation, which means that the states, just like the Electoral College, the states would actually be able to ensure that a popular vote does not run amok in selecting a president. That the states, even though there may be a minority of states that, you know, as far as population goes, they may be in a minority in population-wise and representation in the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter. Each state gets one vote. And that, my friends, is what I would call the checks and balances keeping democracy and populism out of our government. This is why September 6th, 2020 needs to go into the annals of history as one of the greatest constitutional disasters this nation has ever faced. Look at where we are, look at what's going on, and look at this. I see this as the portal. I see this as the portal of destroying the last vestiges of liberty in the world and destroying this republic. Biden has no concern regarding the Constitution, and his lips, when he uses the words of Constitution, it is to mock us. He has no sincerity within his heart, and I hate to be a judging man, but I can see evil, and I can understand evil, and evil tries to do everything they can to get us to believe that they're doing the good things with noble intent, but they're actually doing, and they know what they're doing. They're doing these things to undermine us and to destroy us and to subjugate us. So with that, let's have a happy note of having a couple of promos, and then we'll be right back on the Electoral College. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we actually have a very special surprise, and actually you may not consider it a special surprise, but what we have is we have a breakdown, because if you read the Constitution in stitching together the Electoral College is confusing for most people, because people read Article 2, Section 1, and then they go through the Electoral College right there in subsection 2, you know, kind of points in Section 1 or subsection 1, you know, and this is how it's supposed to follow. But the words in subsection 2 have actually changed by the 12th Amendment. And so what we have done for you is we have removed the words that were changed by the 12th Amendment and have updated it. Now, so this goes back to an argument and something I've said a long, long time ago when we talk about the Bill of Rights. And we usually talk about this every December, and sometimes we talk about this in September when we go through the Constitution. But when the first government, the first session of Congress met, there were two men, because it was Madison that clearly got in front of Congress and says, I have every intention of creating a Bill of Rights. And I want to, you know, I'd like to find out if we deal with this as the body of the whole, or if we need to create a subcommittee, how is it that we're going to go about creating a Bill of Rights? Now, everybody in the room, everybody, Senate and representatives, all unanimously stated, we don't need a Bill of Rights. Let's kick the tire on this baby and take it around the block, and then let's see if we need a Bill of Rights. And then, right after Madison got up and stated this, because you got to remember, this is in May. The first session of Congress actually met in May, and it didn't meet at the beginning of May. It met kind of towards the middle. So it was like within the first week or two where Madison, and they were just finally, you know, this is how we're going to do this, is creating their processes of administrative processes of how they're going to do things. How are they going to receive petitions? Well, actually, petitions didn't even exist at that point in time. They weren't even to deal with it other than the fact that it was a part of Continental Congress law. So here they were trying to figure out what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. Then all of a sudden, Madison, after 2 weeks, because being true to his word, he campaigned on the fact that he was going to deliver a Bill of Rights. And so what Madison did was he got up, he said what I said he said, and then he sat down. And I think within that day, next day, within days after Madison said that, the state of New York, because that's where Congress was meeting at the time, the state of New York petitioned, I think it was the state of New York, it may have been Virginia, but it doesn't matter, it was one of the two, and they petitioned Congress. They formally handed over a petition to Congress to call for a convention to amend the constitutions for a Bill of Rights. Now, I don't know if they were asking for a Bill of Rights or if there was just a basic petition that they wanted to meet and have another constitutional convention. This was the cabal's last effort in destroying this new government that was going to take a few powers from them. This was these evil, I'll call them evildoers. These may have been good men, but their designs, their machinations were to ensure that the necessary powers would not be granted to this government, that the union would fail, that each state was to fend for itself. After they put off England as a unified effort, they realized that they couldn't do it individually, that they had to work together. And so they just didn't want to create this union. They wanted to actually see it destroyed. Now, unknown to them was these problems that were arising in France, because this is 1789 now, and the following year, the revolution in France kicks off and creates this whole political turmoil. Unknown to anybody was this idea that this little man called Napoleon Bonaparte would then become the dictator of France, and had the state cabals had their way, we would not have been able to pay our debts. We would have paid France. And next thing you know, Napoleon Bonaparte, because he needed money, and he needed money badly, he would have basically gone to England and to Spain and said, look, we all have stake in the United States over there in America. They wouldn't even have recognized the United States. And they said, we need to work together so that we can all get our pound of flesh, and we'll split that continent up so that we, you know, we take and seize control of it. Man, I'm telling you, that's what would have happened. And instead of having a, you know, a British Revolution, it would have been the First World War. You get my understanding here? Folks, this would have been World War I, that we would have had three nations actually beating us down. There's no way we could have put off three nations. We had a hard time just putting off Britain. But now with France, Spain, and they already have the intelligence on us. They already know. I mean, because France was an ally. Anyway. So I can't emphasize enough, you know, how important this Bill of Rights was. And then when all of a sudden they sat down to discuss how they were going to amend the Constitution, Sherman actually was able to convince the subcommittee, because they created a subcommittee. It was Roger Sherman who convinced the subcommittee that the amendments would be added separately as articles to the end of the Constitution. Now, to be clear, folks, doing that, it makes it confusing and hard. And Madison's argument, and this is the proof, this is the proof why these amendments needed to be injected into the Constitution, so that you could read it, you know, in its original form, and then as it was amended by these amendments, and then the next form, so that it would evolve, but you would read it as it was designed and meant to be read. Therefore, it would have actually changed the language of Section 2 the way we did it. And that's what I basically are doing here, and I'm trying to do for you, is giving you exactly how the 12th Amendment would read if we followed Madison's subscription. So Article 2 of the 12th and the 12th Amendment, and I also include the 20th Amendment in this as well. Section 1 of Article 2, President, his term of office, electors of president, number and how appointed, electors to vote on the same day, qualifications of president. This is kind of an overview of what we got here in Section 1, and on whom his duties devolve and in case of his removal, death, etc., president's compensation, and his oath of office. That's what we find in Article 1. And so Section 1 of Article 1, subsection 1, I should say, is the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president chosen for the same term shall be elected as follows. Now, one of the things that I wanted, that came to me, and I don't mean to make this longer and going down a rat hole, but every nation in the world throughout the history of time has all had what we defined as, in general term, an executive, whether that be a prophet, whether that be a pharaoh, whether that be a Caesar, whether that be a czar. There has always been a chief executive, magistrate, whatever you want to put that out there. The interesting thing is how we redefined or we clarified in English language, you know, exactly how our government and these roles were defined, and actually in this assertion that the executive power, the principal power of executing the law, shall be vested in a president. And so it was just a little side note, because that's under our Constitution. That's how we look at the three branches: an executive that executes the laws of the union, the legislation or the legislative, which actually creates the laws based upon the powers that they have for those laws that they create. In other words, the enumerated powers, and they can only create laws in pursuance to the enumerated powers. If it's not enumerated, they cannot do it. Now, the little twist with our government is we granted them the seat of government called Washington, D.C., and over such, they have full exclusive legislative authority. In other words, they have the full control over all things within that district and within territories. But when a state is created out of that territory, because they can't just possess territory as a resource for the federal government, it's not in the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is that states can apply, or people, as they govern, you know, go into these territories and create their own form of government, and they go, this is our state, and we petition to become. The Constitution allows and actually facilitates states to petition and become states in the Union. So there's nowhere where the federal government says, we're not going to let you become a state. We're going to keep you as a subjugate. We're going to keep you as our subjects. You will be enslaved, and you will work to our whims, and we will have exclusive authority over you. No, they don't have that power. Only over that seat of government, and only while a territory exists, that we, the people, can actually form our own new states and our own new governments out of those territories, because as U.S. citizens, we have these rights. Anyway, getting into subsection 2, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature may direct a number. Now, I want to be clear here. Each state shall appoint. So in other words, we're talking about electors for the Electoral College. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature may direct. In other words, the legislature directs the manner in how the state, the people of the state, are to choose their electors. Nowhere in this language does it say that the state legislature or each state shall appoint the outcome of the electors as the legislature may direct. The outcome and the manner are two very specifically different words. We'll have to go through the Electoral College and the Article 2 clauses for the Electoral College in our next episode. Forgive me, but these things are important to understand, and I'm here to help, and I'm not from the government. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.